As I was thinking about my message, a couple questions came into my head. The first one was this: how will my choices lead my life's direction? Because in chapter 14, Paul says this, and you probably know it after I explain it to you. He says, look, life is not all about partying. And we have liberty to do that and just enjoy life. But if we're stumbling other people because of these behaviors, we should consider that. That's what he said in chapter 14. And when I started to think about chapter 15, I was like, where is my current choices leading me? Do you ever think about that? Or we just make choices, right? And I started like wrestling with myself going, there's really two things about human choices. Here's one of them. I want all my wishes to come true. And here's the other. I want to live in truth. Now, I want to say that I got that from my great brain, but I got that from Wonder Woman. 1984, the new Wonder Woman. My wife and I was watching it just going brainless the other night. I was like, whoa, thank you, Hollywood. You don't even know. That was like a blessing. But really, if you look at that, what is your heart? Where is your heart? Do you want everything to go your way all the time? Or do you want to live in truth? When Holy Spirit says, man, you need this to happen in you. Nobody else, but in you. Or someone else comes and say, yo, maybe you should think about this stuff. Or maybe God's word speaks to you, a song, a vision, a dream, whatever it is. But I want you to chew on that. You want everything to go your way, or do you want to live in truth? It's very challenging for these end times, which I believe we're living in. Here's a second question came to my mind. What or who do I place my hope in? Now everybody would say, Jesus! But really, when you're stressed out, think about the last time you were really stressed out. What did you place your hope and trust in at that moment? After the dust settled, yeah, we'll go back to the Lord. And go, oh. But at that stressful moment, what are your choices? How do you cope with those things, right? How do I cope with those things? And I begin to realize that I'm only speaking for me. I must first love. I must first love, because when I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it leads me to obedience. Nothing else does for me, maybe you. I was never a rule keeper. I'm the first guy to go wet paint. Touch it, right? 55, well, I know they're not going to ticket you if you go 65. Right? I never had a feeling to follow rules, nor did I follow them. Even as a police officer, I struggled with it. It was very difficult. I was thinking about the American culture. And we're so full of entertainment. And now that it's football season, right? You watch these stadiums going nuts. I like what Pastor Jack Hibbs said like a few months ago. Somebody came up to him. What team do you cheer for? He goes, the team that's winning. I go, what? Yeah, the team that's winning. Because then I'm entertained. I'm choosing the winning team. And I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty good. A couple of years ago, I was watching this video, and so unlike the American way, it was the Special Olympics. You guys know what that is, right? It was the 50-meter dash, 50-meter. There was about 10 of them, and it looked like most of them had Down syndrome, and they're all at the starting line. They're not like in blocks or anything, but because it's just Special Olympics, right? And the gun goes off. And they're just like, and halfway through, a girl falls. A girl falls. And you know what happened? So not American. Everybody stopped and walked back and helped her up. And they all finished together. I'm going to tell you, man, that spoke to me. Because it's so out of the norm for us, right? So out of the norm. And I want you to remember that as Paul speaks to us in chapter 15. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you that Pastor Bill has allowed me to speak to the flock of Calvary Chapel, Honolulu, Lord. It's just an honor and a privilege, Lord. And I just pray you get me out of the way. And use me. Use me as your voice, as your hands, as your feet. I pray you touch everyone here, online, over the radio, just where they need to be touched. And we look up at the stars tonight. We thank you for them, and we give you praise and glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. So, chapter 15 of Romans, we'll be going through the first 13 verses. Verses 1 and 2. So Paul just said about partying and stumbling people. Then he says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. In verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to his edification. I looked at this word strong in the Greek, donatos. Donato, strong. And one of the meanings is be strong in the soul, in the spirit, and be able to help. Some of us are strong in spirit, but maybe we're not able to help. And so there's a work there that needs to be done. And when Paul says, if you're strong, then God's plan is for those who are blessed through his preparation. I don't know about you, but I know over the years, God had to really take a long time to train and prep me to launch me. And humans don't like to be trained and prepped. And a lot of us want to be up here, We want to go on a mission. We want to evangelize. We want to do big things, but we don't want the preparatory fiery trials of going through stuff. And Paul tells us tonight that if you consider yourself strong, why? And if you are one of those people, your heart, as Jesus' heart is to strengthen others to glorify God. It's the law of reaping and sowing, right? Whatever you put out, you get back. You see, to bear under the pressure of something or to help somebody, come along and help them, that's one part of it. But when you really look into someone's eyes and you're there for their need, that's another thing. My wife and I have been recently going back and forth to Maui. I'm going to tell you, when I look into the people of Maui in their eyes, there's a need beyond money, beyond building, right? Sometimes they need a hug. Sometimes they need tears or just an ear to listen. We don't have the answers, but we're here. And I want to challenge us tonight. Are we that way for our brothers and sisters in the body who are struggling right now? Right now. You see, because if you want to be as Paul, and notice I picked the word real carefully, be, not do, be, because that's what you have to be first, and then God will use you. But if you want to be someone that God pours out of, I'm going to tell you this. And those of you who have seen me speak before, I've said this before. You and I cannot give what we don't have. You just can't. You can fake it. But if you don't have empathy, you can't give it. You don't have grace, you can't give it. You don't have love, you can't give it. That has to be fruits in you, given to you by Holy Spirit, and Him generating and growing that in you, and then you get to share it. Does that make sense to you? But a lot of people just want to come, and they're not really ready for it. And then there's a cause and effect to that. Over the years, I had to learn what other people really need. Because sometimes they don't need me to be speaking to them, but praying for them, crying with them, whatever it is. I had to learn that. And when you start to look at strong people in the world today, the world's view is this, right? Look out for number one. Look out for number one. The strong will survive. That's kind of evolution kind of theory, right? But no matter No matter the cost, Jesus gave it all for us. Think about that. I'm going to try not to get emotional because I shared this with my Bible study last night, and I got emotional. So I'm going to try really hard because it means something to me. If you don't know this, if you look at this biological machine we have, right? This was not made to experience heaven. What do you mean, Fabe? Well, it's like if a human being would free dive 400, 500 feet under the ocean. We'd explode. Even if you have scuba gear, on the way up, you got to take your time, right? You got to decompress, they call that. Because why? These bodies aren't made for that environment. And neither is this body made for heaven. So God's going to give you and I a new body. Isn't that great? Free. Free. Woohoo. New body. Oh, I can't wait, man. New body, streets of gold, sea of glass. Please don't drop in on me if I'm surfing the sea of glass. But when you start thinking about that extreme blessing God has prepared for you and I, here's the emotional part for me. There's going to be one body in heaven that still has scars. And those scars will be with him forever. And his name is Jesus. He'll have scars in his hands and scars in his feet forever. We'll have our new bodies. No scars, no pimples, no rash. As you get older, no tags, no dark spots, you know. But he will have his scars. And as I process that, I'm like, man, what kind of God do we serve? What kind of God do you and I submit to? That's the kind of God. To me, that's worth following. And Paul, he's encouraging us tonight in these first two verses that, you know, the idea here, when he says to help people, look, if people are struggling, they don't want to be ruled by the strong. I get that. So what do you mean, Fabe? I believe this. It's so much better for you and I to teach people how to fish instead of just giving them fish all the time. Does that make sense? Because then they can get their own fish. And you and I not there, they can still eat. But how many of us right now on TV, on the radio, in this room, how many of us keep rescuing our loved ones? We don't even pray about it. They need this, we go rescue. And God's like, wow, I was doing something right there. Will you stop being God? I was just about to do something. They were just about to have a breakthrough moment. And you go rescue. Now, there's nothing wrong with rescuing if it's in the will of God. But I know I've pulled the trigger on rescuing some of my loved ones too quick without prayer. Too quick. And I'm challenged by that. Paul tells us, if you're strong, you're in the will of God. And God will help you teach people how to fish instead of just giving them fish. And you know why human beings, they don't like to teach others how to fish? Because there's a cost. When you and I choose to invest, why would I want to step into your life and be part of your chaos and confusion? Now, you may think I'm holy, but I have my own chaos and confusion. Now, why would I want to step into your life and take on your chaos and confusion? Because of Jesus. If he sends you my way, I take that serious. I take it as an opportunity to be his hands and feet. Amen? But a lot of humans don't want to pay that price. We like the Sunday, the Wednesday, the midweek studies you might attend, and hi. You ever notice on Sunday, everybody got this mask? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. Everybody's fine. I mean, well, we have church. Church is a hospital for broken people. But everybody on Sunday is fine. If you see me on Sunday and you ask me, Fabe, how you doing? Be ready to sit down, because that's an important question. I'm going to tell you how I'm doing. It might be real good, or it might be you're just now investing in my chaos. I'm going to just tell you, oh, driving over here, I wanted to run somebody over in my big Silverado. Little Japanese car got in my way. Who knows, right? But seriously, when you come into a fellowship like this, that's the important part. You know, you're the church, not this building, right? Amen? You are the church. Wherever you go, that's church. And so if that's true, why aren't we investing, as Paul says? Help others, especially if you can help. And this classic strategy the devil uses within the church all the time, all the time. We're in our little clique groups and we start talking about somebody. And it's like, what are we doing? We in the body should be building each other up, not talking about people. Not talking about them and tearing them down. If you want to talk about somebody, I challenge you, say it to their face. If you got something to say, say it to my face and whoever's face you, I mean, if you want to say something to me, please. Don't go in your little clique group and do that. And Paul understands that is the strategy of the devil in the body. In the body. And he's working it really well. Why? He wants to create division through chaos and confusion. That's what he wants. It's so much easier to tear people down, ain't it? Man, when I make assessments of people, oh, it makes me feel so much better because I feel so much better than them. But Jesus never did that. Paul never did that. Now, he spoke discipline into people, including Peter, but he did it with a purpose, with a vision of God. And I like that about Paul. Let's go to verse 3 and 4. It goes on and says, for even Christ did not please himself. But it is written, the reproaches of all those who reproach thee shall fall upon me. In verse 4, for whatever was written in the earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement, or another word for perseverance is patience, of encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That's why this is so powerful. It not only gives us direction, but it gives us hope for these end times. We already know who wins. If you don't, his name is Jesus. We just know when he's, we don't know when he's coming back to win, but he's won already. We're on a winning team. We should be fanatic about that. You see, Jesus is a perfect example of someone not pleasing self, but putting others before him. He lived to please the Father. You read the Gospels, he continuously said that. I'm here to do my Father's will. Over. And over again. But I want to tell you, for Fabian, for me, it gets back to what I said earlier. I must follow Jesus with love. I got to love him. Somebody asked me part of my story, my whatever you want to call it, my testimony. The first thing I would tell you is December 10, 1989, my old high school, Farrington High School, I fell in love with this rabbi named Jesus. And he changed my life forever. It was no joke for me. It wasn't a church thing. It was a personal thing. And when you hear what Paul tells us in these two verses about Jesus being this example, I want you to notice that there's a twofold purpose with understanding and having hope in God. And the two words is perseverance or patience, and the other word is comfort. You see, because when we endure, we press on with Jesus. And look, I know it's hard. I know it's hard living a Christian life in these end times. But hard is not bad. It's just hard. Well, what is our hope? Our life means something to God and to other people who live with us, that share earth with us. And when we begin to understand that, then we get the comfort because we're enduring, we have the perseverance of following Christ no matter what. And we keep pressing on. But if you're like me, I naturally want to vindicate myself. especially like when I'm going to travel tomorrow. We fly out of here. I'm taking my mom and my wife. We're going to fly to Utah. Pray for me. I'm going to be speaking at a Calvary Chapel at Salt Lake, Mormon town. I mean, it's going to be exciting. But when we look and we place our hope in God, what happens is we start to challenge ourselves because, like, if somebody messes with my mom or my wife when I'm traveling, the first thing I want to do is vindicate. And the old fleshly stuff come out, right? And I can tell you real holy, like, well, I was a police officer, so I have a protection already built in me. No. The truth is Fabian liked hurting people. That's it. That's the truth. Street kid liked to fight, became a cop. I mean, that's the truth. So humans, we like to vindicate. We like to have revenge if someone hurts us or our loved ones, right? But how did Jesus do it? Man, on the cross, he didn't even open his mouth once. He didn't say not one word. He just took it because his hope was all of us and those online and on the radio would choose him as Savior. And the rest of the world would have an opportunity to do the same thing. That was the hope that Christ had for the world. So he bled out for us. He slaughtered himself for us, even though we like to vindicate. I mean, I was thinking, why are we like this? Why are we like this? Why are human beings like to vindicate, revenge? I can tell you it's Adam's fault. For the ladies, it's Eve's fault. But do you enjoy it at some level? Do I enjoy it at some level? Our hope is doing what is right, even when no one is watching. That's the hope. When I was an instructor at the Honolulu Police Department, the chief sent me on police ethics training. I was like, what? You're sending me to teach ethics? Are you kidding me? I'm the worst guy to go, but I went. And one of the things I kept telling young officers and veterans is this, do the right thing, especially when no one's watching, because then that's your character. Don't do the right thing because people are watching. That's because they're watching. But you and I do the right thing to please our Savior because he's watching, even though nobody else is watching. I don't know about you, but I don't want Jesus crying when he hears my name. He did enough of that over 30 years of my life. I want him to like crack a little smile. Fabian, boy, he came a long way, didn't he? I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. He smiled when he heard my name. And when you start to think about you and I being able, look at ourselves, but we're able to grieve God. That trips me out. I don't like that power, but we have it because he loves us so much. His heart breaks when we sin. That's the depth of his love for us. You see, I want you to remember that living well can be hard. And I said earlier, but that's not bad, it's just hard. We're told, Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. Look, is it up here? It's back here, but can you guys put, look at the standard Jesus sets. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Look at that standard Jesus put on us. Pray for the people we don't like. Ugh. How is that possible? It's impossible without God. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looking at them said this, these things are impossible with men, but with God, all things are possible. So I'm challenged by that. Pray for our enemies. I don't know about you, but lately the political world is a joke. I'm looking at politics. I'm not really into it anymore since the last presidential election. I couldn't sleep for 3 days when I knew who the president was. I was just grinding for 3 days. So I don't watch news, but I look at headlines. And it's a joke. The whole world's looking at the great America, and our system now is such a joke. Such a joke. Because we've lost God. God's no longer in the middle of anything of our country. And so now we've become a laughingstock. Yeah, we may have the power with military and money, but the moral direction of our nation, it's a joke. And so how quickly we forget that God is in control. Am I bummed with the system? Yes. And then I wake up and God goes, Fabe, remember, these dominoes have to fall because I'm coming. I'm like, all right, Lord, let them fall. Let your will be done. Then I can handle the end times better. Because when I see our country and where it's headed and where it's been and now where it's going, it breaks my heart. Those of us who served in the military or worked the streets, it's who bled and protected our nation. It's sad to see where it is right now. But don't forget, God is in control. Romans 8:28, he has a purpose for everything. All things, he says. Right? He reigns. And he'll do good things, as he said, with good people and the unjust too. You know God loves every human being. Amen? All the way until the last breath. Then he's got to judge. But all the way to your death moment, he'll give you all the way to choose him. That's the kind of love he has. So don't quickly forget when you're going through stuff tonight, tomorrow, because you will go through stuff. And if you don't, please get my number from the office and tell me your secret. Because you should be teaching here. Because I go through stuff. Stuff is just part of the earthly life. So the next moment you have and this stuff is surrounding you, don't quickly forget that God is in control. And he will choose good things for you. Even if it's hard. He's going to get you through it. We define good differently from God. He knows exactly what you need and I need. And so he's going to get us through that. Only God's love can save you and I from ourselves. Ooh, how was that one? I'll say it again real slow. Only God's love can get you and I and save us from ourselves. When he gave me that thought, I was like, whoa. Wow, God. Only your love can help me through my stuff. You see, we must do our best, but we let God do the rest. And the funny thing, not ha-ha, funny is like, in case you forget, God knows when you're giving his best, when you're giving your best. He knows it. And so when I say you do your best, God does the rest. Be sincere with that. Be patient with that. I like to throw gems out. Okay, here's one. I'm not going to even charge you for this one. Our faith in Jesus. I don't know how that deep is for you tonight, but your faith and my faith in Jesus is the power that turns us into conquerors and overcomers. You think about that. Your faith in Jesus. However, even if it's a mustard seed faith, it'll give you power to conquer things you never thought was possible, because it ain't you conquering. It's Holy Spirit in you, giving you what you need to get through that moment. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. The truth is, God is outside of our time dimension. And he's not logical. And he's not called us to understand all things. Those of us who went to college, oh man, I get so much knowledge. God's not called us to understand all things, but to trust in him in all things. And that just takes the weight off of me when I think about that. All my hard stuff is on his lap, at his footstool. And it gets me through my moment. Verses 5-6. Paul goes on and he says, now may the God who gives perseverance or patience, encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may be with one voice, glorifying the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, like-minded. That's so powerful. So powerful. Again, this patience and comfort is our hope. And Paul recognizes that only Holy Spirit, and he begins to write the rest of the chapter like a prayer. But Paul begins to recognize that only Holy Spirit is the one who does the work. We must choose to allow him to work in us as well as others. This is God's gift. He sealed you and I with Holy Spirit, inside and outside. Old Testament people didn't have that. It took the night of Pentecost to release that global power of Holy Spirit in every believer. We struggle with God at times, don't we? It's okay to ask him. It's okay. He knows we don't understand all things, as long as your heart is right. But we struggle with God at times. God, you're too slow. God, why is this so hard? Why am I sick? Why did I lost my job? Why do I have this disease? Why do I have this illness, injury, whatever it is? But God is patient with us in all things. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that. Look, be encouraged, my loved ones. The Lord is not slow about his promise. He's promised you and I certain things, as some count slowness, but his patience towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. I don't know about you, but I've prayed so many people in my family, save them, Lord, save them, Lord. It's been decades. That's so long. And it's still not there, right? But you know, 10 years is like nothing to God. He's outside of time. Continue to pray. Continue to believe. Continue to desire that God will move in the right time in a powerful way in our family, in our friends, in our coworkers, the people I hang out with. Continue. Don't give up. Even though you think God might be slow, he's not. He's moving perfectly for that person, for that situation. I like this about humans. You ever heard of this saying? Oh, it was love at first sight. There's no such thing. Instead of love is lust. Oh, they look good. Woohoo. That's the true word. You know why I say that? Because love is a process. If you really love somebody, you're going to have those words attached to it. Commitment, faithfulness, right? And that is a process. That's not automatic. Oh, Mona, I loved you from day one. And she'll like, sure, right on. But now I love my wife 33 years, December 10th. 33 years. I can't believe she stayed with me that long. I couldn't stay with me that long if I was me. Right? But that process of love is so unbelievable when Jesus is in the middle of it. He changes everything. He changes everything. So the question is, why do we struggle with people we care about? Look at this question. In your family right now, are there loved ones you struggle with? Survey says, yes. Why? We love them. Why we struggle, right? Why do I say things to my wife that I probably wouldn't say to any of you? My bad, honey, sorry, came out. Why do we say things to our kids, our relatives that we probably wouldn't say to anyone in church, but we do. It comes out. That question has haunted me when I'm doing this study. For me, I'm just like in my office going, whoa. Okay, let me get back to thus saith the Lord. God says, Fabe and the body, you can overcome these things if you're like-minded and like-minded with Christ. That's an important aspect with our relationship as Christians. Are we like-minded? You see, this requires patience and comfort. Because Christians aren't the nicest people to be around with 100% of the time. We all have our moments, amen? Am I the only bobblehead? You don't have moments? We all have our moments. And when you start to think about that, what brings us back is we're like-minded. We love Jesus. Our hope is Jesus. He's our living hope. And then that comforts us. And what happens is then we start to have grace with one another. And then we start to persevere, endure. All the fruits start coming out because of the love we have for Christ, that like-mindedness. That's what makes the church powerful. And I'm talking about the global church of Jesus, all the believers. When we become like-minded, nothing can stop us. No power here. Only God's will can stop us. But if we're like-minded in Christ, we will be doing God's will. And I like how that plays out. So verse 7 through 13, it's really a beginning of prayer, and it's all scripture-based. So let's go ahead and read that. Paul goes on and says, wherefore, accept one another, just as Christ has accepted us to the glory of God. Whew, thank you, Lord, for accepting us. Verse 8, for I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and circumcision meaning the Jewish people. Verse 9, and for the Gentiles, you and I, if you're not Jewish, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. And he goes on and he quotes scripture. Therefore, I will give praise to thee among the Gentiles, and I will sing to thy name. Verse 10, and again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Verse 12, and again Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, Jesus, and he will arise to rule over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles have hope. Verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace, and believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 is Psalm 18:49. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 32:43. Verse 11, Psalm 117:1. Verse 12, Isaiah 11:10. Paul is quoting these scriptures one after another. And so as Christians today in these end times, you and I can choose to let issues divide us. We can choose that. Yet I want you to remember, and this is for me, we should remember how Jesus received us just as we are. Did he tell you before you come to me, take a shower? No, he didn't. Did he tell you, oh, you're divorced, you can't come to me? No, he didn't. Did he tell you, stop the addiction before you come to me? No, he didn't. You see, he took us just the way we are. And these scriptures tells us God sees us, even if you're not of Jewish bloodline. God says, I love you, and you are my children if you accept my Son as Lord and Savior. I hope that's true for you tonight. In a real way, not a religious way. In a way that will shake the inner core of your very being. Because Jesus will come in and do a whole restoration in you like you never thought was possible. I only say that because he did it for me. I love this about Jesus because he looks at us and he sees the potential in all of us. He looks at you and I tonight and he says, you have so much potential, and that's why I bled out on the cross for you. You have so much potential to tell the world about me. My story attached to your story and take it to the world. That's what is powerful. That's why John wrote in Revelation 12:11, you and I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our stories. Don't ever be ashamed of your story. Don't ever be ashamed. It's powerful when it's attached to Christ. It's a powerful thing, and Jesus sees potential in it. And I want you to notice, God's plan is no divisions, even between Jews and Gentiles. Many believe today in the world, one of the lies that the devil has interjected, even in the churches of America, many of them, people start to believe that their truth is true. And you might think, well, how does that happen? Well, think about your life as I think about mine. When I'm going through a moment, in that moment, are our feelings and our viewpoints true? No, they're real, but they're not necessarily true. But to us, it's so real that sometimes we think it's true. You guys feel me with that? And then our perceptions get like really weird because we lose fact that in our moment, do we go to, thus saith the Lord, I know the plans I have for you. It's good. For peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11, right? But we get so caught up in the, it's so common in the world today. My truth is true. Your truth is true. What is true? Right here. This word of God. That is the foundation of truth. Anything else is hogwash. I don't care what kind of alphabets is at the end of their name. AA, BS, there is a, you can get a BS degree, Bachelor's of Science, okay? Whatever is there, master's, MMC, PhD, whatever it is. I don't care what's attached to your name. What is the truth? Right here. The story of Jesus Christ from Genesis to the book of Revelation. That is true. You wonder why you struggle to open this book daily? Because this truth will set you free. So your flesh hates it, the world hates it, and the devil hates it. So they throw so much stuff at us that we don't get into it until we have to. But this is the truth that will set us free. And as Paul writes this in a prayer-like fashion, I love it because these verses are revealing to you and I that God, especially at the end, look what he says in verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, not happiness, all joy. Because when we have joy, guess what? We have peace. And in believing that you may abound in hope, the only way you and I get there is by the power of Holy Spirit. That's the only way we get it. And so when you look at this prayer that Paul kind of is like writing in these verses, it's revealing how we're equipped by God. God don't want you and I to survive today. He wants us to overcome today, to endure today. He wants you and I to walk on water today, not just sucking through a straw for air. God is equipping us with enough so we can be overcomers, conquerors in Christ. Man, that's the hope. When you leave this place, if you get anything, get that tonight. God is able. God is able to create us into overcomers. Whatever this world throws our way. And the love of Jesus is the glue of everything. That's why you came to this place tonight. Or you're listening over the radio and you're on online, zooming in or whatever it is. Because you love Jesus. You probably had a big question. Who is this guy, Fabe? Can we trust him? I don't know. Pastor Bill did. So. But really, the glue is Jesus. That's why we're here. Amen? Can you hear me? Amen? That's why I'm here. Jesus. How horrible it is when I look at you and I see my sins on you. They look so much better on you than me. I wonder why that is, right? But remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 and 5. This is like, my wife has a picture of me on Molokai when I did a teaching there. And I'm at this private, this secluded beach, and I found a log, and I put it in my eye. And she took a snapshot of me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got logs in both eyes, not just one. But look what it says. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Oh, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is still in your own eye? You hypocrite, Jesus calls us. First, take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. But boy, we like to say, you're such a sinner, sister. I'm a pastor. Let me pray over you. What is that? What does that tell you, that I'm not a sinner? Please, I got logs coming in both eyes. And if I don't address it, how can I help you? And Jesus tells us straight up, that's the truth. Stop comparing yourself to other people. How are you going to get joy? How are you going to get hope if you do that? I'm going to conclude tonight with this. I know people can't always see things my way, and they have the right, you have the right to be wrong. That's a joke. In case you wanted to laugh. But it's not my way we're talking about. It's the Word of God. Truth is not based on my feelings, but the living Word of God. The living Word of God. What comes forth from your mouth? Can I astound you with Scripture? Oh, I mean, I'm not somebody who memorized things. God gives me Scripture. I didn't plan to memorize anything. But I got words that keep me in line. Psalm 62:2, He only is my rock, my salvation, my stronghold, and I will not be greatly shaken. Philippians 1:6, I can have confidence in this, that he who has begun a good work in me will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Psalm 73:23, nevertheless, I will be continuously with you. I will hold you by your right hand. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that by his divine power, he will give me everything I need for life and godliness through the true knowledge of him, because he has called me by his glory and excellence. It's all him. You see, do you have this? Do you have this in your toolbox? Because when we start to get shook and we got these moments, thus saith the Lord is my salvation. It's what helps me through my stuff and your stuff. But if you don't have this etched in the tablets of your heart, you'll be greatly shaken. Thus saith the Lord means so much to me because I need it. I need it. Holy Spirit is our teacher, God says in verse 13. He's the one who makes God and his word come alive in us, changes our hearts. You know that memberships, 12-step programs, ID cards, riding on bikes with a white shirt and a tie, knocking on passing pamphlets at the doorway, those things mean nothing to God. He wants your heart. He wants my heart. Sincerely, he wants it. And when we allow him in, he changes us from the inside out. That's the only program that's going to break addicted habits, coping skills, medications, whatever. It's God in us. Our hope is a living hope in Christ Jesus, the true word of God. I love it because I remember when I was a new believer, and when I see new believers, they proclaim, I got saved. I remember my family tripping out. They couldn't believe I was saved. I was like, oh, it's just a fad. You'll get over it. It's been over 35 years or so, long fad. But when you start thinking about when we're young in Christ, I don't know about you, but I wanted to proclaim him. I wanted to tell the world about Jesus. We're proclaiming. We don't even know really who he is, that he's just a savior, but we don't know the Bible. You remember the first time you picked this Bible up and you tried to read it? And it was like, blah, 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 blah. And so as a new believer, we proclaim our story and Jesus attached. And as we mature with Jesus, then we get to explain it. Then you can share God's story attached to your story in a verse-by-verse way, not just your zeal and your story. And I would hope you all desire that. You get to the place, as my brother is going to be giving these classes on apologetics, you got to get to the place where you can stand for the sake of righteousness and know what you believe and why you believe it. Don't just be proclaiming, but you should be able to explain the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this challenge today. Will we choose to bless others tonight? Today? Will you choose to be a blessing to someone? Instead of just desiring to be blessed, will you be the one who gives out the blessing tonight and tomorrow for the days to come? And why I ask that question is this. If you and I don't do it and be a blessing, who's going to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? Who? Somebody else? Think about that. What we heard tonight, Paul says, be a blessing. Jesus says, through my spirit, you can experience so much if you just come and let me abide in you. And that's my prayer for you tonight. As I close in prayer, I want you to think about maybe not even yourself, but someone you've been praying for a long time. It could be yourself. But I want us to come together as a body and pray for someone in this very moment. Amen? And just pour out our hearts to the Lord Jesus. He hears us. He hears us very clearly. Father, we're sitting here as a ohana. And there's so much stuff in our hearts, God. People that we've loved. And they're just falling deeper and deeper away from your love. But God, you see the hearts of your children here tonight, including my own. Including my own. I'm thinking of this one young gentleman who's caught up in the world of homosexuality. And I pray for his salvation, God. I've known him since he was a baby. God, how long? I don't know. Your people here, they're thinking of a special someone that they've been praying for so long. God, would you hear our prayers tonight? Would you help us not only to love the people we're thinking about right now, but to be a blessing for them? However that looks like, God, help us to be different. God, we know you're not too slow, and we know you're El Shaddai. You're Almighty. You're the giver of good things. So as your people have placed their prayers onto your altar for special people in their lives, we want to thank you ahead of time for the plans that you have for all of us and for the people we're thinking of. God bless us, because surely only you can bless. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people say, amen. Love you guys.